This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Bracing for Irma's wrath. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, September 6th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Irma churning in the Caribbean is threatening to become just the fourth storm in history to reach the U.S. as a Category 5. Some evacuations are underway in Florida.
The Trump administration has ended the DACA program that protects children of illegals from deportation. Hear what each side is saying.
In sports, Major League Baseball says the Red Sox used Apple Watches to illegally steal hand signals from opposing catchers.
And does your college kid need renter's insurance as he or she returns to campus?
But when you also look at campus crime numbers, burglary and theft is, that's the most common on-campus crime as well. It's accounting for about half of all of the crimes on college campuses. So it's worth it to be paying attention to your coverage in this area.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on renter's insurance for college students. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, forecasters are now using the word megastorm to describe Hurricane Irma churning toward the Caribbean. Residents up and down the Florida coast are starting to prepare for the worst.
Scared, and I'm going to board up the house and probably head north.
President Trump has declared emergencies in Florida, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. John Cangelosi at the National Hurricane Center reported that the Category 5 storm packed maximum sustained winds of 185 miles per hour late yesterday.
Expected to move just north of Hispaniola and across the Bahamas throughout Thursday and into Friday. And then by the weekend, it's going to be very near Cuba and perhaps the Florida Keys or the Florida Peninsula.
In its current sights, the Leeward Islands. Irma's center was about 85 miles east of Antigua and approximately 90 miles east-southeast of Barbuda. The Florida Keys are said to be especially at risk at this point. In Miami-Dade County, the mayor there said people should be prepared to evacuate Miami Beach and most of the coastal areas. In some low-lying areas, people have been told to start evacuating today. President Trump is urging lawmakers to pass broad immigration legislation by March. Now that he has announced the end of DACA, a five-year-old program that protects undocumented immigrants who enter the U.S. when their parents came here illegally.
I can tell you, in speaking to members of Congress, they want to be able to do something and do it right. And really, we have no choice. We have to be able to do something. And I think it's going to work out very well. And long term, it's going to be the right solution.
Some of these immigrants will begin losing protections in March. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio plans to fight the decision.
We are here to stand by each and every one of them. 30,000 New Yorkers.
The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, as it's technically known, covers nearly 800,000 people who were brought to the U.S. as children and meet other qualifications, such as schooling or military service, and are temporarily granted work permits and given safe harbor from deportation. President Trump travels to North Dakota today, when he'll give his second speech pushing tax reform. Here's more from this morning's Dave Duncan.
The U.S. policymakers on taxes, a group referred to as the Big Six, met yesterday with the president at the White House. Republicans are trying to rewrite significant portions of the tax system by year's end, giving them a very small legislative window. During that time, they'll have to contend with trade-offs and competing priorities. Mr. Trump's visit to North Dakota today is significant, coupled with last week's remarks in Missouri. He'll have stopped in two states he won in 2016 that have Democratic senators up for re-election next year. Gordon?
Thank you, Dave. Mr. Trump will say, by the way, as he did in Missouri, that voters should defeat Democrats who don't work with him on taxes. He's expected to make similar trips to pitch tax policy almost every week. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. How would you like the convenience of joining a group cycling class whenever you want, right in your own home? Skip the commute to the gym, join live rides on the Peloton indoor cycling bike, or choose a ride on demand based on your favorite music. You can even choose your favorite world-class instructor. There are also dozens of on-demand scenic rides and additional off-bike workouts. The Peloton bike includes a 22-inch high-def touchscreen, performance tracking metrics, and a real-time leaderboard. In fact, see if you're working harder than me. My screen name is Radio Guy Gordon. Discover this cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings the studio experience to your home. Peloton is offering listeners a limited-time offer. Go to PelotonCycle.com, enter the code GORDONDEAL at checkout, and get 20% off accessories with your Peloton bike purchase. Get a great workout at home anytime you want. Go to PelotonCycle.com, use the code GORDONDEAL, and get started. Thanks for being with us. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Tech Advisor. President Trump is upping the ante on North Korea. Yesterday, he offered billions of dollars in new American military equipment to allies in Asia and said South Korea should use bigger payloads on its missiles. His moves came as the U.S. faced an uphill negotiation at the United Nations Security Council over new sanctions against Pyongyang. Meanwhile, there is no good news about North Korea's nuclear program, only hard truths. In the wake of Pyongyang's weekend nuclear weapons test, its biggest ever, Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib has three of those truths. Jerry, how do you see it?
Well, we're at a new phase in the nuclear crisis over North Korea. This phase started over the weekend when the North Koreans conducted their sixth underground test. This one was a much bigger one and suggests that maybe they've perfected a hydrogen bomb or at least something like a hydrogen bomb that has much bigger explosive power. It doesn't, you know, the arc is still the same, but it kind of underscores that this relentless march toward a very serious nuclear capability on the part of the North Koreans just continues. And so the Trump administration obviously has to confront that. But there's just no good answers on North Korea. I think successive administrations have discovered that. And what I'm saying in this column is that there are some hard truths that are worth bearing in mind. One is that we're not exactly in the greatest shape at the moment in relations with the allies who are most important on this. Economic sanctions, those are the most likely tool to try to push back against the North Koreans, but there are definite limits on how much they can accomplish. And there's probably in the end a need for diplomacy to bring this to a kind of a tolerable state, even though people don't like the idea of diplomacy with the North Koreans. It seems to reward them for bad behavior. I think it's probably inevitable at some point in the arc of this crisis.
So obviously critics will say diplomacy hasn't worked for, 60 years. Why would it work now? Are things different at this point?
Well, first of all, that's a fair point. For 20 years, the U.S. has been trying various kinds of negotiations with the North Koreans, sometimes involving the six-party talks, which was a group, the U.S., China, Russia, Japan, and South Korea, all talking with the North Koreans. That seemed promising for a while, and then it didn't after a time, mostly because of the North Koreans cheating on things that they had agreed to. But I would argue at least that maybe the pressure on the North Koreans to be serious about diplomacy hasn't really ever been as great as it should be. You know, there have been economic sanctions on North Korea, but not really the full gamut of economic sanctions. In particular, they continue to get oil from the Chinese and probably from the Russians. And if that were cut off, that might produce some real changes in attitudes. The Chinese are already ceasing to buy, or at least they say they're ceasing to buy coal from North Korea, which is a big earner of hard currency for the North Koreans. So most people who study this think there's a ways to go yet to create economic pain on North Korea that might produce a different attitude in negotiations. And that's probably where we're headed, at least in the short term.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib about his piece entitled Three Hard Truths Govern the Confrontation with North Korea. He referenced the allies, which we don't have great relationships with all of them, sanctions, and diplomacy. So with regards to the sanctions, you mentioned some of them. What's the reality of sanctions going next level?
Yeah, well, the most important thing that could happen on that front would be for the Chinese to cut off oil sales to North Korea. That's a So that's an important lifeline. It's probably not the only one. As I said, the Russians are probably providing some oil, at least through cutouts in Asia to the North Koreans. But a cutoff of oil would produce a real change. The cautionary note there is that the North Koreans are very good at doing without. You know, they're sort of the hermit kingdom, and they've turned off food even to their own people and lived to tell about it. So this regime knows how to do more with less, and they've proven that. But I think that would create some severe problems, at least, not necessarily ones they couldn't handle. And then I think the second element of sanctions that probably are out there are U.S. unilateral actions against companies and countries that continue to do business with North Korea. In other words, don't simply take for granted that people are going to heed a United Nations resolution to cut off trade with North Korea. Go out into the U.S. and try to enforce that by cutting off access to financial markets and trade with the U.S. for companies and individuals who continue to defy the U.N. and do business with the North Koreans. That also hasn't really been done to the max, and that's probably in the offing now.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the most powerful Atlantic Ocean hurricane in recorded history, made its first landfall in the Caribbean islands early this morning, churning along a path pointing to Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Cuba before possibly heading for Florida over the weekend. John Cangiolosi is with the National Hurricane Center.
The system is holding its Category 5 status. The maximum winds are still 185 miles per hour. The pressure observed from the Hurricane Hunters is dropping a little bit, and that's certainly an indication that the storm is at least maintaining its intensity.
The eye of the hurricane Irma passed over Barbuda shortly before 2 a.m. Heavy rain and howling winds raked the neighboring island of Antigua, sending debris flying as people huddled in their homes or government shelters. Meanwhile, residents of the Florida Keys and southern Florida are starting to evacuate. Miami Mayor Carlos Jimenez.
This hurricane is far too powerful, poses far too great a threat for us to delay actions any longer.
Mandatory evacuations for the Keys start this morning for tourists and tonight for residents. President Trump has begun dismantling President Obama's program protecting hundreds of thousands of young immigrants who were brought into the country illegally as children, declaring he loves the Dreamers, who could face deportation, but insisting it's up to Congress, not him, to address their plight. Trump didn't specify what he wants done, essentially sending a six-month time bomb to his fellow Republicans in Congress who have no consensus on the matter. On Twitter last night, Trump wrote, "Congress now has 6 months to legalize DACA, something the Obama administration was unable to do. If they can't, I will revisit this issue." The Red Sox have reportedly admitted to Major League Baseball that they improperly used Apple smartwatches to steal signs from the Yankees during a series last month. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred says the league will look into this.
We will conduct a thorough investigation of the charges on both sides. I want to do that quickly. I think that's important that we get it resolved.
The New York Times says the Red Sox told MLB investigators that team executives were not aware of the scheme.
As somebody posted on Twitter, tongue-in-cheek, with a reference to Deflategate, in which sport do Boston teams not cheat?
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, ouch. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. When traveling for business or pleasure, enjoy a warm welcome at Lexington and Red Lion Hotels, and join Hello Rewards for personalized perks and to earn free nights. The tuition is paid, the books are purchased, and the dorm room mini fridge is stocked, but there's still one back-to-college expense families should assess, and that's renter's insurance. Here's what to consider from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly set this up.
Usually, you'll find that homeowners policies will cover your college student's dorm room contents, but there can be some notable exceptions to that, so you'll want to check your policy and make sure that your kid is covered in case of things like theft or fire or water damage.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about theft. Yeah, of course, those parties with strangers walking in, perhaps your items may disappear. What typically, I guess, happens, or what are the most common claims?
Theft is, of course, the most common claim. It's about 41% of renters' insurance claims. That, of course, is not just including college students, but young adults or really any adults who might have a renters' insurance policy. But when you also look at campus crime numbers, burglary and theft is that's the most common on-campus crime as well. It's accounting for about half of all of the crimes on college campuses. So it's worth it to be paying attention to your coverage in this area, especially when you're talking about, you mentioned parties, but also just, you know, your student has roommates who may or may not leave the door locked when they're leaving the room. You can't always hope that everyone's as careful as you might teach your kid to be.
Got it. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Her piece is called College Students May Need Their Own Renter's Insurance Policies. So what could something like that cost if this is not under the parents' policy?
So the good news is if you are going to go for something like an independent renter's insurance policy, you know, the average on that is about $190 a year. So it's pretty cheap peace of mind. And usually the deductibles on that is pretty low, too. So that's going to help parents in a lot of cases who might have a pretty high homeowner's insurance deductible themselves, that it could mean, you know, well, you're maybe a little more willing to, you know, file a claim instead of just eating the cost of that lost computer or lost piece of jewelry, because, of course, that's the stuff that ends up going missing first.
Oh, yeah. Is it too late to get the insurance once you're actually back to school or no?
No. Fortunately, this is not one that has a time limit on it. This is, you know, you're looking for new coverage for you and your stuff. It's always a good opportunity to take out that policy. Of course, if your student moves throughout the years, you're going to want to continuously call and update that policy just to make sure that you're still getting the best rate if they, you know, are in one dorm or one place this year and they move somewhere else another year.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Omaha Steaks offers a huge variety from premium steaks to skillet meals. This summer, I've enjoyed grilling them at barbecues. They also make the perfect business gift. Their gifts offer unique home cooking experiences from a trusted brand known for quality. Right now, you can experience for yourself what makes these business gifts so unique with an exclusive offer. Order the perfect business gift to try the Omaha Steaks gift experience for yourself or send it as a gift. The perfect business gift includes 4 bacon-wrapped tri-tip steaks, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 gourmet franks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, plus free shipping and 4 caramel apple tartlets. This exclusive package is only $59.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, and choose the perfect business gift. Again, omahasteaks.com. Enter the code DEAL in the search bar to send or experience this exclusive gift package for only $59.99.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. On this Wednesday, September 6, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Hurricane Irma has Florida residents preparing for the worst. Trump ends the DACA program. Opening statements today in the bribery and corruption trial of Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey. An arbiter has upheld the 6-game suspension of Ezekiel Elliott, but he'll be eligible to play this Sunday. The Utah detective who arrested a nurse for refusing to let him take a blood sample has been fired from his second job as an ambulance driver. And how to be a socially responsible tequila drinker. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, scammers will often strike in the immediate aftermath of a disaster like Hurricane Harvey to seize on the charitable outpouring that may emerge en masse following potential damage from Hurricane Irma as it eyes the Caribbean and Florida. As you know, we Americans are a generous bunch and often make for easy targets. Here's how would-be donors should do due diligence before giving to charity from Wall Street Journal reporter Veronica Dagger. Veronica, what should we know?
Scammers are setting up scams mostly online to try to defraud good, well-meaning donors out of their money. And this often actually happens after a disaster. We saw this after Hurricane Sandy. We saw this in conjunction with the Syrian refugee crisis. Even the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, some of these scams popped up. Scammers see the need to prey on people's emotional needs and needs to give, and so they target these vulnerable donors.
How do they do it typically?
So one of the ways they do it is, like I said, online. So social media has become one of the most fertile ground for scammers. So, for example, they make set up fake Facebook pages dedicated to a cause, blogs, websites that purport to tell a story of a suffering victim. And some of these stories are really detailed, so it sounds very believable. Another venue to watch out for are these crowdfunding campaigns. You've probably seen your friends, you know, do that to, you know, support their charity walk or what have you. But some scammers are using these crowdfunding sites to raise money for their own personal gain. And the thing is, with these crowdfunding sites, there's not the same oversight by the IRS as there are is if you had given to a public charity. Mm. And so basically, anyone could essentially set up a crowdfunding site, ask for your money, tell a sob story, and then essentially walk away with that money and use that money to, you know, pay for their vacation or new boat or what have you. And good luck, you're not going to get that money back.
Boy, I think most of the time, right, we're referred to a group like Charity Watch.
Charity Watch is a good resource because they're really on top of some of the scams that you need to be aware of. They have a really great article about crowdfunding scams, so I would suggest checking that out. And then there are some other websites that you can, if you're not sure, you know, is this charity legit? Is this person legit? You can always just run a Google search of that person or that charity's name and then and you write the word "end scam," see what comes up. Sometimes you'll be surprised. It'll be like a well-known scam that maybe you just didn't never heard of. You can also check out the charity by going onto websites such as Charity Navigator, GuideStar, and Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance to find out how long this charity's been in existence, learn about its programs, and how much they're spending. Also, you can check the IRS website to see if the charity is registered and legit.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Veronica Dagger, covers wealth management, also host of a podcast called Watching Your Wealth. And we're talking about scams following Tropical Storm Harvey. If you have any doubt about where to donate or if the group you're about to donate to is suspect, right? I mean, trust your gut. Just go to like American Red Cross because they'll filter it down to, say, the local charity.
That's exactly right. Yeah, trust your gut. And, like you said, go with some of these big established charities who have done disaster relief before, that you know their name, you know some of the work. They operate all over the world, and they also may have local chapters in places like Texas, so they've experienced providing shelter and food to disaster victims. You know eventually that money is going to get to be used to help those people, and it's more of a trusted brand name. You know, not to say not giving to a local charity is a bad thing, but you know, if you're going to give to the local charity or this pop-up startup charity, you got to make sure it's legitimate and also still functional after a disaster.
Thanks, Veronica. Wall Street Journal reporter Veronica Dagger. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. Friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter, too, @GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. If a driverless car were waiting to take you to work today, are you ready to hop in it? What if it were there to take your kids to their evening sports activities? As tech analyst Rob Enderle says, some people just aren't prepared mentally. He's got to look at their specific concerns that Intel discovered in a focus group. Rob, what's going on?
Correct. According to the American Automobile Association, AAA, they did a massive survey, and 78% of people don't trust cars that drive themselves. And so Intel did a focus group with about 10 people to try to understand why.
All right. And what did some of those folks say about that?
Well, they were really concerned about human versus machine judgment. In other words, if the old story is your car comes around a corner and there's a stalled school bus and it's got a choice between hitting the school bus and killing the driver or hitting the kids where the driver responds, people were just a little nervous about the machine making that particular decision. Mm-hmm. Now realize that those kinds of incidents only happen if somebody's really speeding and the autonomous cars really won't be speeding, so the opportunity for that problem probably will exist very seldom. Also, realize that most of us, if we came around the corner and we saw a school bus and kids and no room to stop, we probably would just scream and our car would be ballistic, so we wouldn't really have the time to make a decision anyway. Mm. But they were concerned. They wanted to make sure that that if there was a decision made, it was ethical.
Well, I must say, and I must admit, I think my favorite line in your whole piece from that focus group is, group members wanted the car to be able to break the rules like they did, which means folks got a tad annoyed with a car that followed the rules. I didn't think about that part.
Yeah, this really kind of shouldn't have been surprising, but, you know, a lot of us drive pretty aggressively, and if you're in a car and it's going the speed limit and it's letting other people in and it's behaving as a good citizen, and let's be clear, other surveys have shown that regular drivers will probably bully autonomous cars because the autonomous car is always going to back off, and so so people got really frustrated with that. They wanted the car to get there fast. It's a 35 mile per hour speed limit, but anybody can drive 45, and 50 is not that bad. Mm. So they really wanted the car to kind of drive like they did, but the real point of the autonomous car is it's a ton safer, and it is a ton safer largely because it doesn't do stuff like that.
Speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, he's written a piece entitled, Can You Make People Trust the Autonomous Car? What was the piece about how it works versus proof it works?
Well, this was kind of interesting. When given a technical description of how the car worked versus actually just observing the car worked, in general, it looked like they would rather just watch the car working and then they believe it. However, there was some screwy stuff in here because the focus group kind of came around to the idea that they wanted to know how it worked. Now, Intel's an engineering company with engineers, and they would really like the world to be that way. And so I think there might have been some contamination with the sample at that particular point. Because my own experience is, you know, people just want to hit a button and have it work. None of us know how a microwave oven works, how your stovetop works, how your dishwasher actually works. You know, you've got a huge weight in there that keeps everything balanced. Nobody knows. The only time they really want to know how it works is if they don't trust it, or if they've got to fix it. So at the end, it really looks like as these things hit the road and people see that they work and see that they're not getting into accidents and see that they're safe, people will come around to the idea that the cars are all right.
Thanks, Rob. That's tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2424 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2424.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 3 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Florida monster Hurricane Irma slammed into the island of Barbuda early this morning as it barrels its way across the Caribbean, packing ferocious winds. The eye of the Category 5 storm made landfall with winds gusting it up to 185 miles an hour. The storm is headed northwest toward the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and eventually Florida. Broward County Emergency Management Director Miguel Ascarons is urging residents to stay vigilant.
We prefer, at least in Broward County, people evacuate out of our zone, stay with family and friends in county versus getting on the road and driving hundreds of miles north and blocking the roadways.
Irma is the strongest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Ocean. A growing Oregon wildfire has covered parts of Portland's metro area with ash and forced the shutdown of a lengthy stretch of highway through the state's scenic Columbia River Gorge. Governor Kate Brown says the fire covered 13 miles in 16 hours.
I activated an additional 250 guard troops. That means we have over a total of 600 National Guards, men and women, supporting our firefighting efforts throughout the state of Oregon.
It's one of dozens of wildfires burning in western states that sent smoke into cities from Seattle to Denver, prompting health warnings and canceling outdoor activities. Senators want to forge a modest bipartisan deal for shoring up the nation's individual insurance markets, but lingering raw feelings over the Senate's failed attempt to repeal the health care law won't make the task any easier. The Senate Health Committee is holding the first of four scheduled hearings today, where testimony is planned from five states' insurance commissioners. Russian President Vladimir Putin says supporting a Russian-Chinese roadmap would help resolve the nuclear crisis on the Korean Peninsula, and he's urging North Korea's neighbors to support it. He says the roadmap offers a genuine way to defuse the tensions and a step-by-step settlement. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley has dismissed the Russian-Chinese roadmap, saying the U.S. is done talking about North Korea. And more help for those affected by Harvey coming from a celebrity telethon next Tuesday. The major networks and some online portals will hold a one-hour fundraising event featuring Beyonce, Blake Shelton, Barbara Streisand, and Oprah Winfrey. Other participants include George Clooney, Drake, Julia Roberts, Jamie Foxx, and Ryan Seacrest.
Very nice. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Hey, if you love tequila, you may be competing for it with bats. There's a biologist in Mexico named Rodrigo Medellin who wants bars to start stockpiling tequila made from agave grown by farms that let some of the plants flower so bats can have their nectar at night. The Wall Street Journal says Dr. Medellin, known in his field as the Batman of Mexico, has persuaded three long-established tequila makers to set aside 5% of their blue agave crops to flower in some fields. For their pains, they get to call tequila from those fields bat-friendly and use a hologram on their bottles that has an image of a bat near an agave flower. Americans can share the love at bars like San Antonio's Esquire Tavern, which offers a bat-friendly tequila cocktail called Batman of Mexico. The spicy $12 drink includes fresh corn syrup, a blend of chilies and lime, and bat-friendly tequila. The bat-friendly tequila ocho version can be found for around $45 at some U.S. liquor stores. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.